What a great privilege. Texting saints. See? Columbus Bible Chapel is improving or progressing. When I was listening to what Tim was telling, that's a new concept, isn't it? Texting saints. You are going to text. And that's a way of connecting us. The technology we are using for our spiritual growth. I was thinking about 2003 when I moved here. We started this one with 4 or 5 families. And now God blessed us. And we also progressed along the way. Let me make a joke. We started with a Columbus Bible Chapel, nut free. Then I had gluten free. Then Jim C. starts saying, why can't we have a salt free? Now we are progressing. I'm so thankful to God that He has allowed me to sit in front of you this morning. I got a stool here. If I need, I will be sitting there. It's a great privilege to share the Word of God. First of all, I mean, when I'm standing at the podium, always I'm thinking about this thought. It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching. The Francis of Assisi made this comment, this quote. I'm afraid when I'm doing preaching because I'm wondering, am I following what I'm doing? So, each message is not a question towards you. Each message is a question towards myself. So when I'm standing with the Word of God, I'm wondering, am I doing exactly what I'm supposed to be? That's what I'm afraid about. So if I'm not walking according to the way that what I'm saying, there's no meaning. So, for today's meditation, I'm taking a very common issue. That is troubled heart, easy thing. I mean, I'm always getting worried for simple things and big things. And currently I'm working for a financial institution in the town. I'm working in a perfect department which fits for me. My job is risk management. They are paying me to worry about the risk and continuously worry until I find a solution for that risk. That is risk management. They are paying me for that. So I am seeing, I'm having a lot of anxiety, trouble. And do you think it is because of lack of my prayer? Lack of my faith? A theologian or an angel can say maybe, but it's a fact of life that all of us are worried about something. When I moved from Texas to here in 2003, I was afraid about snow. And on 2003, God was so merciful to me that only some few dust I have seen. So that day, I don't remember, Lester Young came to me and said, see, there is only few snow, nothing, the God is very gracious to you. And 2004, He gave me very good snow. And, you know, and God allowed me to see the snow and, you know, trying to understand what is the risk in that and to live along with that. So that anxiety is inside us. Even the disciples were having the same problem. We are all worried about something. Yes, something is bothering always. Just after the Lord's Supper, Lord Jesus came to understand how His disciples are going through. He understands their mind and He starts talking to them and trying to give peace to that troubled heart. So this morning I want to go through John chapter 13 verse 33. John chapter 13, verse 33. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. you will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you. A great statement. After being with them for a long time, and now he is going to say that I'm not going to be here for a long time. You will be having trouble. I'm going to leave you alone. The mood of his disciples must have changed. They are worried. And the troubles are brewing in their heart. The anxiety starts growing. And then the Lord said them on chapter 14, what we are saying is, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. After Lord Jesus Christ said he won't be along with them for a long time, he realized that his people, his disciples are getting worried. Then he immediately start talking to them, to their heart. When you are studying these verses, that is giving us a lot of hope to the troubled heart. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to worship you, Lord. Lord, for the next few minutes, we are trying to understand the word of God. Lord, help each of us, Lord. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Chapter 14, John chapter 14, is a unique chapter. It is just after the Lord's Supper. And then the Lord is disclosing what is going to happen right now. And he said, I'm going away. And Lord knows the heart of each individual in that group. And then Lord presented in such a way that let not your heart be troubled. That's what Lord is telling. He starts encouraging his disciples. Imagine, or try to understand, this is the Lord speaking to his own disciple. There's a lot of weight on that. He's talking to them, and he knows their heart, and he knows their situation, and he's talking to them. Same manner, in this morning, Lord knows each of us. We are going through our own problems, our own anxieties, our own issues. Lord is speaking to us in that situation. When you are studying the Revelation, chapter 1 through 3, you will be seeing that Lord is talking to each church in their situation, saying that I know what you are going through, and I already win that such situation. I know. This morning Lord is speaking to each of us according to our situation directly. And again, when we coming back to the John chapter 14, verse 1 through 3, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Imagine whom he is talking to. Who is talking right now? He is talking to his own disciple, who left everything. Their net, their parents, their family, their friends. And they left everything and believed him. Believed in Lord Jesus Christ and followed him. After the Lord's Supper, he turned back to them and say, believe in God. Believe also in me. When I was reading those verses, I was wondering, why? After all these years, all the sacrifices they made, now Lord Jesus Christ is turning to them and say, believe in me and believe in God. I find it is very interesting. He knows us. That is the exact medicine for a troubled heart. When a child is feeling safe in the hands of their mother, we don't have to tell him again, go and say, and look, you have to believe that your mother is holding you tight enough so nothing will happen. We don't have to say, because they believed. Do you have that relationship with God? Do I have that relationship with God? When I am seeing the crude oil prices going to $23 per barrel, I am start thinking about my job. When I am looking through the NOAA website about the snowfall, I am thinking about my children. Where are they now? Where are they? What time they are going to come home? The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciple. We all have that anxiety. And he talked to them very clearly. And if you look through those verses, you can see an interesting thing. He introducing four doctrines to them. One is I go. Second thing is prepare. Third, I will come. Receive you. Four doctrines are embedded in that verse. I go, I prepare, I will come, I receive you. Four doctrines are embedded in that particular verse. If you believe all those things, then you don't have to worry. To his disciples, that's what he's saying. I am going, and I will prepare. And then again I will come back. Also I will receive you. Let me try to share what I my understanding about those doctrines according to the word of God. I go. He's talking about his death. I prepare. He's talking about the preparation of the heaven for you. I come back. He's talking about his second coming. And fourth, he's talking about the rapture. I receive.
Hallelujah.
So all these four doctrines are embedded in that verse. After presenting this doctrine to his people, he's talking about the seven promises that all of us can claim or already there for us. Let's get into the first doctrine, I go. That is called doctrine of death. Of his death. He was born to die. You won't be able to see anybody say that I am here to die. Only Lord Jesus Christ is the only one in the history who said I am here to die. If I am going through, or if all of us are going through that motion, that way of thinking that I am ready for my death, then I know a bunch of folks in our assembly will be unemployed, that is doctors. Nobody will go to doctors, isn't it? I want to prolong my life. I need more easy walking, that's why I went for surgery. I don't care about my blood pressure. I'm ready for death. I don't want tablet, doctor. But Lord Jesus Christ, he decided. He said, I am ready. In Psalm 40, chapter 7, he said, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. So he declared his arrival. A pre-existing God who is declaring that I am coming for saving all mankind. He's born to die. So when he was talking to his disciples and say, I go, he's talking about his death, the accomplishment of his mission. Just before his proclamation of it is finished. This is the doctrine of death. You know, this morning we were meditating on various verses, and we were talking about Isaiah chapter 53, about the way that he was on that cross. who was in control of Lot's death? Who was in control of our Lord's death? Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. It was God's plan. So he said, I am here to die. If we know that doctrine, that is the first approach for getting a trouble-free or anxiety-free life. Because my Lord came to this earth to die for me. And it was under the control of my God, not by Jewish priests, not by Roman emperors. It was pre-planned. That's why we are seeing that it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord. It was his plan. It was Lord's plan to save his people. He sent his son on the cross because it was his plan. You understand, you believe that. Then your heart will be free from your troubles. Let not get troubled. You know, when you're studying again the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is so interesting to see our Lord got a Roman death, not a Jewish death. He got a Jewish burial, not a Roman burial. It is so interesting to see all those things when we are studying. If you go to Leviticus, chapter 24, verse 15 through 16, it says, if a person is being caught on for blasphemy, what is the punishment? Stoned to death. My Lord Jesus Christ was supposed to get stoned to death. How perfectly my God intervened in that point and put him in the, according to the Roman laws, to give him the cross, because that prophecy needs to be fulfilled. Psalm 34:20. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Our Lord was under the control of our God because he planned everything. So my Lord was killed on that cross according to the Roman laws, in order to make that promise fulfilled, that prophecy fulfilled. He guards all his faults. Do you believe that? He who is in control? In my situation about crude oil, why should I worry? He sent Lord Jesus Christ with a plan, and he arranged everything according to the plan. And again, when you're looking to the burial side of Lord Jesus Christ, after this, that's from John chapter 19, verse 38. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified according to the Roman custom. And Lord Jesus Christ's body is going to be buried according to the Jewish custom. Out of the blue, the Joseph came and presented himself to Pilate and said, I want that body. You know what the history books talks about the culture of Roman judicial system? Once they put somebody on that cross, they will leave that body on that cross, allowing the birds to prey on that. It never happened to my Lord. He was buried according to the Jewish system. Everything was planned. The doctrine of ego, or about his own death, he emphasized to his disciples and said, ego. So everything was planned. Now, the second one is about hyper prayer. My understanding is heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I hope that's our understanding, isn't it? It's a prepared place. The same verse I have written there. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. The God of all creation is going to prepare a place for you. That is a promise that he has given to his disciples. That I am going according to the previous plan. I am going that I need to go to save the mankind. Because disciples were not able to understand when he said that I am leaving you forever. I am leaving and you won't be seeing me. He was not saying that I am going to leave you forever, but that's the way they understand. Their understanding is like that. I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. And their mood must be bad. They are troubled in their heart. Now he is saying that I am going because it was planned so. Then he said, what I am going to do for you, I am preparing a place for you. This morning, if anybody is in this congregation who is not sure about that prepared heaven, listen carefully. Heaven is prepared for each of us. Once you understand why he died on that cross, once we understand and reconcile ourselves with God, then the peace of God will be in your heart. Then you can easily claim the heaven which is prepared by our Lord. So, next point is I come back. His second coming. When you read the Old Testament, it's very clearly said that he is coming back. When Lord Jesus Christ is talking to them, he's talking to them through these verses, isn't it? I'm going to come back. I'm going now. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Then definitely I'm going to come back. What a soothing word from our Lord, the God who created heaven and earth. He's saying, I'm preparing a place and then I will come back. We know about the second coming. Then next is about the rapture. I receive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I go, I prepare, I come back, I receive. Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. That's the place we are talking about rapture. You know, from Revelation chapter 4 through the 19, you are not seeing church. The church is not mentioned. On chapter 3 was the last place where talked about church. Then after that, you won't see church because it was raptured. The church is gone. And I will be along with that group, and all of us will be with him. If anybody in this congregation is not believing that, please, please, go back to the Bible. Go back and see, understand. What is the rapture and why it is important to me? What is the rapture? we are supposed to be. We are the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He wants us to be with Him. Only two times we are seeing the heaven is open in Revelation, chapter 4 and chapter 19. Chapter 4 is talking about the rapture, and 19 is talking about His second coming. This morning, if you want to have a troubleless or anxiety-less life, you see what God has made for you. Understand the rapture, and the question is, are you ready? You know, usually I used to see a bumper sticker saying that, beware that this guy will be raptured away and you have to be away. It is true, isn't it? Any moment that can happen to us, that's a promise. Then I will be with Him. And I will be seeing my Lord face to face. And I will be seeing the mark on His hand and on His body. And I will be seeing the manifestation of His payment for my sin on His body. And I'm not going to see Him as a crying Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to see Him as a King of Kings. I am going to see that He is the King of Kings and I am His bride. What a joyous moment. And I will be living in His light. Are you ready for that? I am thrilled. I believe all of us are, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ purposefully came to this world to die for my sin, our sin. And He is in heaven preparing a place for me. And He will receive me one day. Wow. That is the hope I receive. Then God is talking about seven promises. These are the seven promises that He's giving to us. One, preparing place for you. That is on John chapter 14, verse 2. I go to prepare a place for you. Two, promise that He will be coming back. He said, I will come again and receive you to myself. Then third promise, promise of clear path to reach Father. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No religion can claim this. This morning we were discussing about something related to Islam. When Muhammad was asked about the salvation, he said, I'm not sure. His disciples went and asked him, are you going to be saved? Are you going to be in heaven? He said, no idea. It's up to Allah. This morning, each of us can claim the heaven because we are purchased by His blood, not because of our deed, because of the mercy, because of the grace. He purchased us by His own blood. And then fourth, promise of His presence. At the day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and in you. What a great verse. Three in one. Father, Son and me. We are together. And fifth promise. He will listen our prayers. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a great promise, isn't it? Go back to Him and ask Him what you really need. He's there to listen for you. And sixth one, promise of Holy Spirit. And I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. I may be going away for a while. But you know, I am going to give you another helper of a same unit or same strength is going to be inside you, in with you. I am going to ask that to the Father. You know, I am not alone. When I consider myself, when I understand that the Holy Spirit which raises our Lord Jesus Christ is living in me. It is living in me, that same Holy Spirit, that the Spirit which makes our Lord Jesus Christ to come out of that tomb is in me. Any of my action, any of my work qualifies that? That Holy Spirit, a comforter, the Greek word is Parakletos. I'm not a Greek scholar, I just looked into the web and I found this. I just thought of saying this one here to make everybody confused. It's a Greek word, by the way, Parakletos. Simple word, a comforter. He's living. That is his promise. And last but not least, seventh one, promise of his peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. The peace is going to be inside you. If you have peace in your heart, what will happen to you? You will be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. Examine our own life. Sometimes I'm a troublemaker, then I have confused myself what I'm doing. Are we a peacemaker? This morning, the Lord is telling to us to examine ourselves again, to see, are you aware about all these seven promises? Are you ready to accept that peace? When he was leaving, his disciples were worried. They do not know what is going to be. And this is a great verse from the Lord, from the mouth of our Lord, the creator of all heaven, creator of everything. He looked to the disciples, not only to the disciples, to all of us in Columbus Bible Chapel 2. Saying that I came with the four doctrines and I fulfilled that. Now claim that seven promises. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for sending your Son to that cross to give us freedom, to give us peace, to give us everything that even we cannot imagine. Lord, help us to keep our heart trouble-free. And help us to submit ourselves again, once again, to the will of God. To understand your love. And to continue our life according to you. Lord, we are going to work. Lord, help us. We pray in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.